So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. We've got a great show for you guys tonight. WWE Hall of Famer and Professional Wrestling Hall of Famer, Fabulous Moolah, is going to be here. Also, Jerry Lynn's going to be stopping by. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you here. Les, I know you're out on the road, and you...
Actually, I'm not on the road. I'm out outside. It's too damn hot outside, Doc. It's 105 degrees in Las Vegas, Nevada. They set a record here yesterday at 107, they said.
So you are in the City of Sin this week.
Yes, I am.
And what are you doing out there?
I'm out here for the Cauliflower Alley Club Convention, which actually starts Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Scott Casey and I, well, normally it was Harley, Scott Casey and I, this will be the fourth year that run a training seminar for independent wrestlers out here on Thursday and Friday. The turnout is usually somewhere between 50 and 60 kids. And then on Friday evening, we pick the top 30 of that group and put an impromptu show together and run that on the afternoon, Saturday afternoon before the awards banquet, which is Saturday night. We're at the Plaza Hotel in downtown Las Vegas, and I would say don't ever come to the Plaza Hotel.
Why is that?
Don't ever fly Northwestern Airlines. Because today has been just, it just has been a... First of all, my wife made reservations on the airlines and told the people there that we had both had bad backs. And seats that would recline, obviously, would be good. So we got the very last seats in the very last row, which wouldn't recline. And we had a 4.5-hour flight in that particular way. So, and then we've had a convention here at the Plaza. Well, it was two years ago was the last time we were at Riviera last year, and I was kind of happy to come back to the Plaza. But anyway, the convention hall is on the third floor, and we've always booked a room on the third floor, just around the corner on the front. Plus, I'm busy all day, and I can sit in the room and watch the laser light show at Fremont Street, which is quite spectacular, by the way. So anyway, when the wife booked those rooms, obviously we get a convention rate, and she told her that. The two rooms we had here in the past and said either one of those would be great. And they said, okay, cool. That was like 3 months ago. So we checked in today, and they said, no, you're going to be on the seventh floor. And I said, no, I'm not. Well, if you want to pay $30 more a night. And I said, no, I don't think so. And quite frankly, if I could have changed my airline ticket, I wouldn't even be here. I'd be headed back to Cincinnati. Thank you very much. Because enough's enough. Gas prices the way they are and so forth. Instead of God we trust on the dollar bill, it should say bend over.
Absolutely.
Oh, and the other thing is Northwestern Airlines, to try to help the economy, if you want to do a curbside check-in, it's $2 a bag.
Oh, God.
If you'd like to sit at one of the exit aisles, which should give you a little more leg room, you can do that for $15 an extra seat. Mm. And I thought, man, isn't it great? I mean, it's just great to be an American.
It's the land of opportunity.
It, for somebody, but I'm not for sure. Yeah. Well, you know what? I tell you, and I can't speak for you younger guys, but at my age, I work for various insurance companies, auto insurance, home insurance, medical insurance, life insurance, and, of course, the oil companies for gas, fuel, and oil, and electricity, and then the government. And if there's 5 or 6 cents left over, actually, we're allowed to keep that.
Ah, that's nice.
The only American dream I'm aware of is names Virgil Runnels. That's And for those of you young folks who are waiting for the American Dream to happen, forget it.
Les is just on tonight, guys.
It's a bigger work than the business I work in.
You have to have a bad day to crack me up.
Oh, well, you know, hey, I love George Bush. He's the greatest con artist in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's a whole other show.
Our committee of congressmen, senators who own a lot of stock in the oil industry have checked in, and they've seen that gouging is not actually going on. Although when I left Cincinnati yesterday, unleaded regular was $2.95, and then we saw it at $2.73 in Indianapolis. So I don't know, you know, you can call that state taxes if you like. You can call it whatever you want. I just call it again. Let's bend over, America.
Right. We got, it was kind of a slow news week, actually. But
we do?
Yes.
Okay, well, see, I actually was enjoying the calm before the storm last night at a hotel in Indianapolis with my lovely wife, and so I did not see Raw. And yet the injury list continues to grow, even the ring announcer.
Oh, yes,
right?
Absolutely. WWE.com is reporting that both Raw announcer Lillian Garcia and the newest Raw diva Beth Phoenix suffered injuries on Monday Night Raw last night in Pittsburgh. In regards to Beth Phoenix, she suffered a fractured mandible during her match with Victoria. Phoenix was taken to a local medical facility, will be undergoing some oral surgery as a result. Ouch, man.
what are you out? Is someone pinching you, or no? You just
I could just imagine that.
Oh,
okay. Man,
I don't. You know, and from what you're telling me, and of course, I like I say, I DVR'd it at home, so I won't see it till next week, and we're not out of here till the third, home till the 13th. But I don't quite understand how that would have happened, but obviously it did.
I had to look at it about four or five times, and I saw her suplex Victoria, scream and grab her mouth.
Huh.
Toward the end of the match.
You know what I'm wondering? If it was just the overall strain?
It's possible it could have been. She landed with her mouth open or
yeah.
In a weird position. It was definitely a freak accident. But some oral surgery is in the cards for Beth Phoenix now. And that's just too bad because she just got here. She's already injured. But,
yeah, yeah.
Luckily, it's nothing, it's nothing major. Something that probably won't be
keep her. And she is a legitimate athlete.
Absolutely.
As well. You know what I did see on SmackDown is the newest Stacey Keibler.
Really?
Michelle McCool.
Ah, yes.
You know. I tell you what, the one match I saw with her months and months and months ago, and I remember who it was with, I knew that she didn't have a lot of experience, but I had commented to somebody, I said, you can see that she has an inkling. She, you know, she's caught on a little bit. I'll tell you what, Jillian Hall and Crystal Carmichael? No. Crystal, what's her name? On SmackDown.
Carmichael, I believe.
Is it?
Anyway.
They had a match last Friday, which impressed me. They actually used wrestling holds. It wasn't a cat fight. They worked a match. Now, I won't tell you it was the greatest match in the world, but it's a damn good beginning. I mean, there was some psychology to it. It made sense. They worked holds. They tried to build something, and I was just, I was extremely excited. You know, I mean, and we've talked about the Shimmer tapes the DVDs, whatever, the last couple weeks.
Right.
You know, and the bar of women's wrestling has gone extremely low. And, you know, Dave Prazak obviously trying to elevate it with Shimmer, but I was just excited to see those two girls on SmackDown, you know, actually work in a match.
Seems like they're actually going to try something with this women's division.
Yeah, and I thought Phoenix, Beth Phoenix, I'd seen her on the Shimmer show, and another girl on the Shimmer show who I was impressed with in Canada I had never seen before, but I heard the name was that Chantel Taylor.
Chantel Taylor, yes.
And she was just signed.
Recently signed to WWE.
Yeah. And I got word last week that one of my kids was signed, or had I told you that already?
No, I don't believe you did.
Sean Osborne, yeah.
Really? No, I didn't hear this.
Phoenix, yeah. He's headed to OVW, I guess, within the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Garcia, Lillian, we were talking about her. She was actually knocked off the ring apron last night after Charlie Haas, on accident, of course, went off the ropes during his entrance before his match with Johnny Nitro. Many of the fans you could see in the background were not paying attention to the match. They were looking over in her direction. And they finally, you know, after the match, acknowledged that this had happened, this accident had happened, and they showed two trainers, technicians, whoever they were, walking her out. up the ramp. Justin Roberts actually finished the Raw show after that last night.
All right.
So an ex-WWE guest.
Yes. Well, does this mean Viscera now will go after Charlie?
It's possible.
Because he hurt his honey.
It could be. They could play that up.
I love the love angles in the wrestling business.
Especially with Lillian.
With anybody. And Kurt Angle challenges the world, whether you're in a four-sided, six-sided, eight-sided, I guess any-sided ring. I don't know. That's kind of from out of left field, I think. I'm not sure. I've heard that Angle's not really too excited about being part of the ECW thing.
That's the reports that's coming out there, and I don't blame him.
Well, you know, it's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
Again, it's, I don't know. I don't know what comparison to make. You know me on analogies and parallels, and I can't think of one unless you're taking a quarterback and trying to get him to play an offensive tackle.
This is the analogy that people will use. They'll say it's like when Kurt went from WWE to ECW. They'll be saying that one day.
Well,
but you're right. It's a whole different ball game. It's a different atmosphere, and it's a different style.
And I don't know that Angle fits the character outline.
Right.
You know, for that particular. I mean, oh, of course, I shouldn't say that. We haven't seen the new ECW yet.
That's right.
So I don't know. Maybe they'll all wear three button suits, and I don't know. I have no earth. You know, I got in a conversation with a friend of mine. Talking about this in the industry today, JBL, there's been talk of him retiring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Benoit is taking time off just to heal.
Yes.
Michaels is going to have a minimum of arthroscopic surgery on his knee.
Yes.
Mysterio will have, at some point, his, I think, sixth knee operation. He's almost 30 years old. And then I read the experts saying, well, you know, WWE has stopped allowing their wrestlers to do all the good things that the TNA wrestlers do. It's called for their benefit. I mean, you're in Indiana, everybody know Doc lives in Indiana, but if Dungy, the Colts head coach, says, okay, all you guys go out and get busted up. Okay, now our whole team's busted up. Isn't that cool? But they've entertained the fans.
Right.
I think it's you know, I sit back and I realize back during the era that I wrestled in, if you missed some of the towns it would legitimately hurt or something, then a lot of the fans, you know, they'd send you cookies or a card or whatever, you know, back with some of the other wrestlers or to the office or now it's like okay, you can't go, I'm going to spit on you, man, get out of the way, I need to be entertained. It's kind of like the Romans and the Lions and the Christians type of thing. I don't care about these guys' bodies, they're not taking big goofy bumps. Well, see, but this is the benefit of big goofy bumps, I shouldn't say benefit, but the result of. So if you want to turn over a roster in every major company every couple of years when these guys should be at least be able to get 15, 20 years in the ring, I'm not for it. I don't understand it. And if I were Vince McMahon or if I were Dixie Carter or if I were anybody in that position, I'd be slowing things down too.
Yes.
You know, you can have the greatest wrestlers in the world, but if they're all on the disabled list, then what the hell good are they?
And it's probably going to take a couple of major injuries to a couple of major stars before TNA does.
It's going
to
things
back.
Yes, right, exactly. Well, you know, and here's the other thing too. If you really get back to it, we've talked about this particular match. Judgment Day. The big deal was Finlay and Benoit.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't exactly what you call an aerial acrobatic exhibition.
Right.
Right. But it made sense. And here again, I call it whatever school you like, but if I get in the ring, then I'm there to educate you and play your strings and tune you into what I'm doing and you bought a ticket. What would you like to see? And you over there, what would you like to see? Oh, okay. You want to see me kill myself or dive off the bow? Oh, all right, let me do that. I want to say kiss my other tail, you know. No, I mean, that's to me, that's the wrestler's job, is to go out there and educate, is to orchestrate the people.
Right.
You are not the instrument. You are the conductor. And you stand them up when you want them up, and you sit them down. And you know what? Here's the crazy thing is, if you're coming to the matches at all, then, or watching them on tele, or whatever the case, you know, if you are a watcher, a viewer, a fan, whether it be in person or on television, then, if you're like me, and don't enjoy a lot of the goofiness of the product, you still come back for the good parts. And if you stick it on with good parts, then you'll like them more if we educate you and actually explain to you what they are. And why, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
At some point, whose valet's pregnant by who, or it's like, come on, you know. But I mean, that's all well. Nobody gets hurt from that. But when these guys that I just mentioned, and these are all top guys, right? So, and then the next, one of the experts, the writers, is going to say, SmackDown's roster is very weak. Well, you know why? Because they're trying to do what the vicious bloodletting people buying tickets and pay-per-views want.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like you're not going to see the Colts and the Bengals. Dungy and Lewis say, okay, you guys go out there and rip each other's heads off. We don't care what happens the rest of the season. We just want to entertain these wonderful folks of Indianapolis or Cincinnati. It's not going to happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't.
No, absolutely not.
And to me, when a writer said, well, this match was only this many stars, or this guy didn't take 60,000 bumps, who gives a damn? Fit Finley has done more and is one of the more compelling characters on that roster. And he doesn't even, he probably even know what a big bump is. But he does, between his ears, have more brains than half the aerialists in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this business is about. It is a thinking man's business. And it upsets me to see these guys get hurt and to see their careers cut short.
Absolutely.
That just bothers me. It really does.
As first reported on WWE Mobile, WWE has come to an agreement on the release of Road Warrior Animal, also
on
known
WWE
as...
WWE Mobile?
Yes. WWE has a program where they will send you news, breaking news on your mobile phone.
Oh, my God. I can't... Where's my phone? I want to play... Are you a subscriber?
I do not own a cell phone.
What?
Which is really weird. I just have people take messages for me.
Oh, okay.
But right. If I did have a cell phone, maybe I'd get it, you know.
You know what? I Joe Laurinaitis is a nice guy. He and I like Joe. We've trained. He's trained at the gym, and I used to manage Cincinnati. I don't know why I ever came back to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I do not. And in the politics of the business, let me say this is nothing against Joe. It's nothing against his brother John. It's nothing against anybody. It's just an observation from somebody in the business. If you are the head of talent relations and you are trying to keep some harmony in your locker room, on your roster, then probably you don't bring your brother in, who's been retired for X number of years, and start pushing him. That just does not make a lot of sense, you know?
I'll agree with you, too, on that. I don't know why he came back either, and I didn't think that he'd be handled right. He obviously wasn't.
Well, you know, the whole Road Warrior phenomena was just that. And as, you know, how many guys have you heard say, or periodicals say, or talk shows say, you know, when the great tag teams of all time... most dynamic, yes. But also, to put them in that position, because of the style, it killed off a lot of guys. In the territory days, it was, you know, they weren't long-term people in a particular territory, because they had to beat everyone so decisively that it didn't leave a lot of margin for error. And once that's gone, it's gone. You know, once you've been away from that, once you, and part of that was their look, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course he doesn't have that look any longer. You know, I mean that's like you take Chris Masters' look and you don't have much. And I don't mean that as an insult, personal insult. It's just, well, the kid doesn't have a lot of actual in-ring talent. A lot of that is due to lack of experience, but, you know, whether he'll nurture and develop, I don't know. Now, I've heard that Animal was brought back to sell DVDs, and sadly enough, I realize that the business has come to being a way of merchandising now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like May 19th. Thank God. Mm-hmm. If I don't ever hear that again, even on May the 18th, please don't tell me what the next day is. I don't even care. You know,
next time you're going to go crazy.
Goofy voices that the commentators can hear, 9 million people can hear. But the wrestler, their point of that can hear.
It's
okay.
Funny. I'd love to see you next year, and you're like, okay, we're going to do this training camp in May. What date do you want me there?
Yeah.
May 19th. Oh, don't say that date.
No, I just find this is pretty campy. And, it's not what I think it should be.
Here's something that I don't think you do know. There's
a lot of things I don't know.
The Kurt Angle challenge has been accepted last night.
If you're going to tell me this by Daniel Perter.
No.
No?
We actually thought it might be. It might have been. Those were the rumors, but it's not.
Who?
It's Randy Orton. Randy Orton returned last night and RKO'd Angle in the ring. So it's going to be Randy Orton and Kurt Angle at ECW One Night Stand.
Will you be upset if I tell you that doesn't excite me?
I know.
I mean, it really doesn't.
I know it don't.
You know, it's...
It doesn't really excite me either. But.
You know, and again, no offense to Randy, but he has no long-term effect with ECW either.
Right.
And so when you start, you start putting all these guys, Cena's on the ECW pay-per-view, Randy Orton, Kurt Angle, and none of these guys personify, duplicate... look like, act like, wrestle like what? Well, you know, and what I started to say what the people, but a lot of young people, ECW is three initials. Who's the Sandman? I have no idea. I mean, if you've got to realize the cycle of our business. You know, is when did ECW go out of business? How many years ago?
99 or 2000.
Okay, 7 years ago. Right?
Mm-hmm.
How many fans today that are following Cena or Ray Ray or anybody like that are even aware, except for the fact that they hear talk about it, right?
Right.
It's like you may hear someone talking about, of course, this is a lot longer than 7 years ago, but if you hear somebody, Sugar Ray Robinson against so-and-so, okay. You know, but now at my age, I might be, yeah, man, I remember that was a great fight. Oh, yes. You know, and I might have some feeling for it because I might have seen it or heard it on the radio or something. You, on the other hand, have heard people talk about it, and so there is no emotion to that.
Right. Yes.
You know, and again, I've said this repeatedly on our show. Part of the mystique of ECW was that Paulie built this image that was us against the world. And now it's us against us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are all part of this corporate umbrella.
Oh, I have the perfect analogy. This is my first analogy try, guys. My parents used to always talk about, well, at least my father, he was stationed in Boston at the time, of Woodstock.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about Woodstock from experience and things like that.
Right.
Now, I can understand that it was a big deal then, but I can't fully understand what it was because I wasn't around.
Right.
I had no idea. But then Woodstock came, you know, for my generation.
Right.
They had what, Woodstock 90 or something like that?
Whatever it was, yeah. I don't remember either.
But it was, when it got here, it was just like ho-hum.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same.
Well,
you can't recreate that.
No, exactly. Well, see, now, I did not. I'm one of the few people from my generation that maybe, you know, the funny thing is we all, obviously, everyone didn't go to Woodstock. But if you talk about the people of my generation, they, yes, I was at Woodstock. Yes, I was there. But damn, it was crowded. No wonder it was so crowded. Woodstock.
Yes, because everybody was there.
Half America was there. but I remember the buzz that it created. But the things, that's the other part, too. What happened at Woodstock, no one expected that kind of turnout. No one expected the craziness that went on there. It was spontaneous.
Right.
As was the original ECW.
Absolutely.
And this is not spontaneous. This is pre-planned prepared, pre-scripted, and pre-rehearsed, I guess. I don't know.
Now they're telling me in the chat room it was Woodstock 94.
Was it 94?
It was the first one.
Cool.
Couple quick news items before we get to our first guest. One half of the WWE Tag Team Champions, Paul London, is currently out of action due to a staph infection in his arm.
Wow.
That's not good.
No, those things can get really nasty.
You can actually die, you know?
Yes, you can.
London worked through the pain at last week's SmackDown taping, despite the infection, in a loss to the Mexicos on Velocity. London didn't work the SmackDown house show events in East Lansing or Kalamazoo last weekend as a result. Wrestling Society X is already seeking out new talents in anticipation for the filming of the first season. Although MTV has yet to make an official announcement about the project, they've already trademarked the name Wrestling Society X back in April. This has led everyone to believe that the project has been picked up. But no other word on that, no official word on that.
Okay, but they released who?
They released Just Incredible, New Jack, Chris Hamrick, and Puma this last week. Mostly you can see these guys are ECW guys, you know.
Yeah, I get along with New Jack just great. I mean, I really do. He and I are friends. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if Jerome fits into the corporate structure there. I really don't.
Yes, and you're the only man I know that can get away with calling him Jerome.
Well, I don't know about that. His daddy probably can. But,
probably.
Well, you know, but I mean, I just I don't mean it in any disrespectful way. I just don't know.
Mm.
You know, Puma. I don't quite. I mean, he was here in Vegas last year. Actually, wrestled, trained with us during the training sessions and worked on the show on Saturday. With a young Japanese kid, I can't think of his name now. They had a hell of a match, and I was very impressed with him. But I don't again. Now I see him more in the guise of a Benoit, Malenko, in that particular style,
mm-hmm.
Rather than I guess he's a little more of a high flyer than that. But I just don't see him in the ECW. And Hamrick, I'm not really. Now Chris worked some for ECW, but he wasn't a mainstay there.
No.
So I don't know. I really don't know.
See No Evil grossed $2.04 million over the weekend. That brings its total up to $12.4 million, just for those who were paying attention and counting along with us. Also, Terry Taylor has now been officially named the TNA's new Director of Talent Relations, a job he has been doing. He had been doing already, but now they finally made it official.
Yeah, I know he was doing it as early as February because he did a 3-day camp with Dr. Tom and I in the Carolinas, and that we discussed it at that point because, you know, he was conducting some TNA business, you know, while he was on the road. So, yeah, I'm kind of out of loop here. I haven't talked to Terry in a few weeks, but I'm not sure if I know what I read was that he'll be working out of the Nashville office. And although it's not the worst drive in the world from Atlanta, it'd be a hell of a daily commute.
Right.
You know,
so most likely we're going to see a move for Terry Taylor in the future.
I'm wondering, if he's going to pack the family up and head to Music City. I don't know. So, but, you know, I'm glad for him. I really am. He's a good guy.
Absolutely. He's good at his job so far.
Yeah.
Well, good job.
He's, you know, he's serious about it. He takes the business to heart. And I think that's the major thing. Big pay-per-view this weekend?
Absolutely. One night stand.
Okay.
We are going to play the pay-per-view prediction game
in
just a little while later in the show. Coming up, we've got Jerry Lynn on the program, speaking of ECW. We're going to get his take on it.
And speaking of TNA. And
exactly. We're going to get his take on this ECW one night stand thing, talk about what's going on in TNA. Backstage, maybe get a little backstage gossip. No. Maybe we'll get the skinny, you never know. Also, Fabulous Moolah, WWE Hall of Famer, Professional Wrestling Hall of Famer, a double Hall of Famer.
There you go.
Fabulous Moolah, one of the greatest women wrestlers. Coming up next, we've got Hot Topic also tonight with Brian Alvarez from the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter. That's coming up in a little bit.
He's supposed to be joining me out here in Vegas the next couple days, too. We'll have to check out that.
Well, we'll talk about that when he gets on the air.
That's what I meant, Doc. Thank you, Doc,
okay.
For clarifying that.
No, you'll see why I say that.
You've been talking to my wife, haven't you?
We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, Fabulous Moolah on the show. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing, Moose? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Here's the latest news and information on Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, then an obsession. Check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name is Adam Nedelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nedelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thanks.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, she needs no further introduction. I've been hyping this up all show. The fabulous Moolah is on the program. Moolah, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you very much for asking me. It's a pleasure to be there.
You know what, Doc? The fans may not enjoy what Lillian or Moolah and I were talking about before we went on the air, is our grandchildren, which is not really exciting, I guess, to a lot of young wrestling fans, but it's exciting to us.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So what have you been up to lately?
Same old thing, bumping.
Are you enjoying your retirement?
I'm not retired. Who said I was retired?
Oh, well, I mean, okay, so I know you still do some PR stuff for Vince, and you guys still do some stuff once in a while, but,
right, when
I mean, darling, you...
I'm in the gym training.
Well, good, yes. Good.
Yes.
Then you're keeping out of trouble and you're keeping busy.
I'm trying to, yes.
How many girls, gosh, I don't know how many girls have you, not necessarily that actually have made it into business or have actually... are still in, but how many girls total have come through your training camp?
Oh, my God.
Would you guess?
Can I say all the good ones?
you can.
All the rest are rejects to me. But I have quite a few. I would say in the hundreds.
Yeah.
But I can't just recall just how many, but I would say in the hundreds.
If Moolah Lane could talk, it'd be a lot of stories to tell.
Moolah Drive.
Moolah Drive, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Doc, you should see the house in Columbia. It's a big, like a plantation with a lake. And
Two lakes? Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yes. But anyway, it's...
Wow, man.
Yeah, it is quite the thing. And Lillian, you have probably... traveled more or is touched as many countries as anybody in our industry. How many countries all told would you say over your career you've wrestled in?
You know what? I never counted them. All I was doing was looking for the money, Les. That's why they call me Moolah. I tell you what, there's no place like the USA. They can have everything but the USA. I don't care about all the other countries, although... going for the first time, I enjoyed seeing it, but thank God I come back home. Nothing like USA.
Well, you know, I think for any of us in the business, it's always great to get home. I mean, that's...
Oh, wonderful, yes.
You know, you're always more secure there. Everything's more familiar. It's I know a lot of times you wake up in a hotel room and you think, damn, I've got to look and see where I'm at, because they all look the same after a while, don't they?
Yeah, right.
What year did you actually begin wrestling? It's kind of a mystery. Do you remember the exact year that you started?
1949.
Exactly. Okay. I was wondering about
she
that.
She was just a young girl of nine.
And that was
for... Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm not ashamed of my age. I'm proud of it. Next month, the 22nd, I'll be 83 years old.
God bless you, darling.
And I've been with the McMahons, wrestling for them. This year makes 51 years.
Wow.
And I guess that's the happiest part of my life when I've been wrestling with them.
And there was a period of time when women were not allowed to wrestle in the garden, right?
I was the first lady to wrestle there.
Yeah. What year was that, Lily?
Oh. 70s, I think. I'm not sure. I think it was in the 70s. I'm not sure.
But that was the whole strange thing about the New York Athletic Commission. No women and no mask for a long time.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, every place else, the girls were welcome. The masked wrestlers were welcome. But New York, for some reason, they shut them out. And I guess in the mask guys, it was late 60s or early 70s before they started there.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Vince McMahon Sr. and I... had to go to court in Albany to get the ban taken off of the lady wrestlers.
Wow.
Did you not know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, we did it.
Yeah.
He was a wonderful man. Wonderful.
So you're a pioneer of sorts.
Yeah.
Absolutely. God, yes. She certainly is. She certainly is.
They're asking in the chat room if Mae Young is there.
Pardon me?
They're asking in the chat room if Mae Young is there.
Yeah, she's here.
And tougher and meaner than hell, right?
Oh, yeah. She's either drunk or naked or smoking a cigar.
Awesome.
I want to
get to some chat room questions. We have live chat room going, and they've got lots of questions for you, Moolah. Rhode Island Red asks if you were uneasy about doing the angle in which you and Mae Young were attacked by the Island Boys in 2002, or the one where you were attacked by Randy Orton on your 80th birthday. Did it ever cross your mind that these things could have gone awfully wrong?
It didn't worry me at all. I don't worry about it. I just do it, and that's it.
Wow.
You know. Let me interject something there, Doc. Too. I think with people in our business, we're kind of like the Grand National drivers in NASCAR.
Right.
You know what's capable of happening, but you don't think about it. You just go out and do it.
That's right.
It's and if you think about it, then it's more apt to happen. If you go out there worrying, my God, I might get hurt tonight. Chances are you're going to get hurt, right, Lillian?
You're going to be nervous and thinking about that, and your mind won't be on your job.
Right.
Yeah.
Lasertron is asking a question that we were just talking about during the break. What happened to Moolah's damn midget?
What happens to her?
Yeah, what happened to her?
She's here.
Yeah.
My damn midget's here with me. She's like my baby. I wouldn't take nothing for her, and she just... I don't know what I'd do without her. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Lil, tell the story about Katie coming to you and how she got started and how she hooked up with you.
Okay. I was wrestling in Richmond, Virginia, and that's where she's from. So somebody tapped on my dressing door, and I opened the door, and I looked up. For a normal person, then I had to look down because she was so short, you know. And I said, well, hi. She said, hi, I'm Kate Glass. I said, well, I'm Fabulous Moolah. She says, I know that. That's why I'm here. And I said, well, come on in. So she came in my dressing room. She says, I want you to teach me how to wrestle. And I said, well, how old are you? She said, well, I'm 17. I said, well, you'll have to wait till you're 18 or you have to get your parents' permission. And she says, well, I don't think that'll be hard to do, but I want to wrestle anyway. So then she brought her mother to the door, and her mother said, well, we'll give her permission. So anyway, we made arrangements for her to come to Columbia on the Greyhound bus. So I met her at the bus station, and she got off the bus and sit in the car. And time she sit down, she opened up a pack of cigarettes and took one of them long cigarettes out. I thought it was going to hit the windshield. And I said, my gosh, are you smoking? And she said, yes. Then she looked at me and she said, can I call you Mom? I said, oh, no. Anybody that smokes a cigarette cannot call me Ma, because I don't smoke and I don't like to see you smoking. And she just let the window down and thumped it out the window like a pro, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how long is that going to last? Then she looked in her purse and took the whole pack and threw it out the window. And she said, now can I call you Ma? I said, you sure can if you'll stick to your promise. Since then, she's been calling me Ma.
That's great. And she hasn't started up again.
No, never.
How long has she been with you now, Lillian?
Almost 48 years.
Isn't that amazing? That's
wow.
Great.
Wow.
That's great.
And you saved a life, too.
Pardon me?
And you possibly saved a life.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Heel 2006 says, what are the differences between Vince Sr. and Vince Jr. as wrestling promoters?
Well, they're both wonderful. I don't know. The only difference that I see is Vince Sr., he likes the old style. And Vince, he likes anything with entertainment in it. But Vince is a hard worker, and he's good. You just don't know how good he is at giving money to people that need it and organizations and stuff. But he's the first one to give it.
There's so many Vince McMahon Juniors, aren't there, Lillian? There's... so many sides to that one particular person.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but I love them to death, or I wouldn't have been with them 51 years. And I changed his kids' diapers, and that's how long I've been with them. So, you know, I love every one of them. They've been so good to me, and I guess without them, I wouldn't have been where I am today. I know I wouldn't, because Vince Sr. was always there for me when I needed him or when I didn't need him, him and his wife both, and always want me to come visit him in Florida and all that. They're just wonderful people. And Vince Jr. is the same way.
Did you, I don't know, a lot of the fans probably, I saw Lipstick and Dynamite, a lot of the fans probably never did, but of course I grew up in Cincinnati, so I know well who Billy Wolf is and all about him, but did you ever work for Billy at all?
Well, back then, if you didn't wrestle for Billy Wolf, you didn't get to wrestle.
Right.
But I am the one that broke that for him. And he probably would like to haunt me today for it, because I was there, and I was there for about 3 months, and then he sent us to Mexico, and he went along. Well, Mae Young was in that group, and Violet Baen, myself, and I think Doc Dodson, and we were down there, supposed to be for 3 weeks, and looked like the second or third day we got down there, he started fighting with Johnny Mae and was beating her up, and I said, I tell you one thing, when I get back to the United States, my foot will never step back here again. And he said, well, what's wrong with you? And I said, because I can't see you beat up a lady like that. She done, whatever she done is not bad enough for you to do that. Mm-hmm. You're a man. And he was mad at me, but anyway, when I got back to Houston, I didn't go to the hotel where I was staying. I just went straight to the airport, caught a plane, and I came home. And that was the end of being Billy Wolf.
Wow.
And then I started my own place, and I started training girls in, and I guess the first one of the first girls I trained was Judy Grable. And then, you know, I had the Lady Angel. And I had several girls. I can't remember who all they were, you know. But I had about a group of 6 girls to begin with. And Ella Waldeck. And let's see.
Yeah, at one time, you're right. I think virtually every girl in the world worked out of the Columbus for Billy, right?
I had 42 girls at one time.
Wow.
In my camp.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. It was a headache, but I handled it.
Yeah, I believe it. Here's a question from the chat room. Did Hank Williams really ask you to marry him? And if he did, could you tell us about that?
Well, he did, and I was about ready to until... his habit broke us up, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't stand that, because when he was straight, he was the most wonderful person in the world, and time he got a shot in him, he was gone, you know, and I told him, I said, well, he wanted me to quit wrestling, he said, if you'll stop wrestling, I'll buy a town and let you promote it. I said, I don't want to promote, I want to wrestle, and he said, well... And then I said to him, well, if you'll stop using that stuff, then I'll stop wrestling and you can buy me a town. He said, no, no way I'm going to stop. I can't stand it. I said, well, goodbye.
Yeah.
That's the way it was. But sometimes I regret it, and I feel like if I would have kind of stuck with him, that I might have could have helped him through it. But I don't know. I just, you know, and when nobody can do that for them but themselves.
You had a thing for them pickers anyway. I remember, I'm trying to think now, it was in the early 70s or late 60s or something. Weren't you were dating I don't remember his name, but I remember meeting him with you a couple times, a picker. Who was it? Do you remember?
Dorval Smith.
Okay. But so she, that was her weakness, Doc.
Yeah.
If you had a guitar, a little...
Well, I used to do that myself when I was a teenager.
Right.
But, anyway, I don't know.
Another question from the chat room. Miss Destiny says, if you could pick any girl to be the first lady of wrestling, who would you pick and why?
Oh, my God.
These are always the hardest kind of questions.
That is a hard question. That is a hard question. I don't know. I don't know. Right now, I don't know.
She also says that she wants to be in the business. What advice could you give?
Who is that?
Miss Destiny. She wants to be in the business. What advice could you give to her to help her succeed in the ring?
Well, Les, I guess you could give her just as much advice as I could. But
well, she could come down to Columbia and get that advice firsthand, and she may not want to be in the business after
the first day.
I don't treat them that bad. But first thing, you got to have wrestling as number one priority.
Right.
You can't say, well, oh, look at the limelight. Oh, I'll be in the limelight. You will not be in the limelight if you're not in the right shape or unless you got wrestling on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to have wrestling first before anything else, no matter what. And I've been in the ring and got a broken rib, and you know how that feels. At the end of the first fall, then I have to go back and go two more falls with a broken rib.
Yeah.
So that means you got to love wrestling. You got to do it whether you want to do it or not. If you don't want to do it, then go home.
Good advice. Good advice from Mula.
Yeah, if you're in it for the money or just the limelight, then you're in it for the wrong reasons.
That's right.
And you probably won't last.
Right.
It is my guess. TNA for Life says, what do you think of the state of women's professional wrestling nowadays?
Well, there's a few that I think are really good. Like Trish, I think she's a good little wrestler, and Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one that's coming up there, Mickey
James.
Little,
yes. Yeah.
And, I mean, she's acting a little crazy act and stuff, but the girl knows wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And I enjoy watching them.
I was telling Doc earlier in the show, Lily, last week on SmackDown, Jillian Hall and Crystal, they were working a whole, I mean, I was so excited. I mean, it wasn't the greatest match I've ever seen because they're both relatively green and just learning, but they were really trying to work a match, tell a story, do psychology, opposed to just, you know, out there slapping each other around. And I thought, man, this is a step up. It really is. Because I think Doc and I were talking about this, and I think you agree that for a while the bar had really been lowered on women's wrestling.
Yes, it has.
Another question from the chat room. What was it like to work with Cyndi Lauper during the days of rock and wrestling era, and what kind of person was she?
Well, she was very nice. She was a very nice girl, but I just couldn't stand to hear her sing.
Really?
I almost stopped her from singing, too. But anyway, that's passing you. But I did, a friend of mine went to see her in New York, and now she's a blonde, and she's older, and she looks much better than she did when she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a pretty lady now, and seems like changed all around. But I like Cyndi. We got along good, and I went to Hollywood and done that movie with her, The Goonies, you know.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
And she was very nice to me, yeah.
Does it disappoint you to see women's wrestling becoming more about sexuality and rather than the wrestling part?
Yes, it did. But as far as sexuality, I didn't like that at all. But entertainment, I did. So there's a difference, and now, you know, like, I don't know, just some of the girls are they just go there, it looks like they're just there to look sexy, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was her name, Sable?
Yeah.
That was the biggest disappointment in my life, I think, to look at her. But anyway, there are some girls that are, I really wait and watch to see, you know?
And that, I think that's something that these younger kids miss too, Lillian, is that back during our heyday, there were good-looking women, there were homely-looking women, but all of them could work.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was the difference. I think now, to me, even the ones that may appear sexy, once they show they have no athleticism and they become clumsy, it takes away some of that sensuality too.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
There was a angle that where you dressed up as the Spider Lady, you wrestled Wendy Richter, and I believe it was 1984 or 85.
85.
85. Can you explain the circumstances surrounding that? There's a lot of controversy over that match.
What circumstances do you want? Oh, beat her in 8 minutes. That's all.
Wendy Richter claims that she was booked to win the match, and that she was, you know, basically double-crossed during the match.
I don't know what she's talking about myself. I'll tell you one thing. When I let her go, she knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was happy to go, too. She ran out of the ring with the belt in her hand and ran back to the dressing room and grabbed her clothes in her arms and run out the door with her clothes in her arms.
Mm-hmm.
Madison Square Garden, so...
Wow.
There's kind of the answer, Doc.
Yeah.
However she was booked, it didn't turn out that way.
Right.
Well, I don't know. She was booked to wrestle me.
Yeah.
She was booked to wrestle the Spider Lady, and that's who she wrestled.
Yeah.
But she wrestled a different one than she'd been wrestling before.
Mm-hmm. Professor Vian asks, says, what are your thoughts on Penny Banner?
What did I do with?
What are your thoughts on Penny Banner?
Not very much.
Really?
Not very much.
Any elaboration?
No, I guess not.
No? Okay.
It's not worth talking about.
Okay. What do you think, what's your opinion on the Diva Search?
On what?
On the Diva Search.
I don't know.
Have you seen that lately, where they have these, they have the models come in, and it's basically in an elimination style.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're getting ready to do another one, I think, in, starting in a couple months.
Yes.
Are they really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think so.
I've been to, I don't know. Well, you know, I guess it's interesting, and I don't know.
So what's next for you? What do you got coming up?
Well, I don't know what's coming. Let me tell you, Vince, he may call at 10 in the morning and say, Lil, you and May go to the airport at 3 o'clock. There's a plane waiting for you. And you just have to go. That's it, you know. Get under, wash your hair, get under the hair dry and run, you know. But anyway, we're always on time. And I don't know. It's just, it's a quickie, you know. And then we had to go, let's see, California, wasn't it? Yeah. We had to leave here. They called. Was it Saturday? Called Friday. Howard called Friday and said, it's 4 o'clock now, and I want y'all to leave in the morning at 6:45. And I said, where are we going? He said, Los Angeles. I said, okay. So we went to the airport. We got out there, and our part was to do something for the SummerSlam that's coming up in August. I think that'll be. But we're doing some little skits, you know, to put them all together to go into that. But we were there. Let's see. It took me 3 minutes to do mine, and it took Johnny May about 5 minutes to do hers. And then they said, the limousine's waiting for you. You can go back to the hotel. You're done. And we went back to the hotel and got another limousine and went to another hotel by the airport and got our plane the next morning and come home. That's how it goes sometimes, you know. But we got paid the same if we would have been there a week. So what's the difference, you know?
Absolutely.
Like I said, Vince is a darn good man. We love him. And don't he look good for his age?
Yes, he does.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people can say what they want about Vince. They can like him or they can not like him, but the man is ripped.
Oh, yeah.
And for his age, he looks incredible.
Yes, he is.
I want to thank you for being on the show. It's been a real honor, actually, to have you on the show because I've always been a big fan of yours.
Well, thank you so much.
And you take care, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Lillian, the next time we get down to Charlotte, we got the time, I'll give you a shout. We'll do lunch, and we can talk about our grandchildren all afternoon.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So
tell May I said hey, and give Katie a hug for me.
Give Katie a hug?
Yes.
All right. I will. Thank you, Les. All right. Okay, honey.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
That's Fabulous Moolah here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. We've got lots more to come. Jerry Lynn still to come on the show. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. We've got Hot Topic coming up. It's Brian Alvarez from the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter. You are listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly.
Have you ever considered being in radio? Are you opinionated when it comes to the sports you love? Or possibly you've simply been told that you have a face for radio? Well, if one or all of these are true, visit fantalklive.com today. That's www.fantalklive.com. Contact Chris Chisholm today and find out how you can get started running your own radio show on the internet. We do all the work for you. All you need is a telephone. We provide you with a weekly broadcast with up to 200 live listeners, weekly archiving of your shows, and professional production to make your show complete. Again, the best part, all you need is a telephone. So don't delay. Contact Chris Chisholm for more information at fantalklive@aol.com. That's fantalklive@aol.com.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
On total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Hi, my name is Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't
WCW.
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw.
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
Have you ever considered being in radio? Are you opinionated when it comes to the sports you love? Or possibly you've simply been told that you have a face for radio? Well, if one or all of these are true, visit FanTalkLive.com today. That's www.FanTalkLive.com. Contact Chris Chisholm today and find out how you can get started running your own radio show on the Internet. We do all the work for you. All you need is a telephone. We provide you with a weekly broadcast with up to 200 live listeners, weekly archiving of your shows, and professional production to make your show complete. Again, the best part, all you need is a telephone. So don't delay. Contact Chris Chisholm for more information at fantalklive@aol.com. That's fantalklive@aol.com.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now for Hot Topic tonight, and due to the technical problems we were having during the Moolah, he only gets 10 minutes tonight. But Brian Alvarez is on the program for the Figure Four Weekly newsletter. Brian, how are you?
My segment has been cut into by the fabulous Moolah.
Yes.
Actually, it's because I'm pouting because you're not coming to Las Vegas, and that's why you're here.
Yes,
that is a legitimate reason.
he said, cut his time.
What could Moolah possibly have been talking about that went over the time?
We were talking about our grandchildren.
Oh, well.
And you know how that goes.
Sure,
right?
I feel much better now.
Her 9-year-old granddaughter had just won a couple of medals in gymnastics, and my 4-year-old granddaughter had just done her first dance recital.
Wait a second. Now I want to hear more about this. Her daughter does gymnastics, huh?
Her granddaughter.
Oh, granddaughter.
Yeah, she
did gymnastics for a long time, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, she has 9-year-old twin granddaughters.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, Brian, what's the hot topic this week? Let's get into it.
Well, I suppose we should probably talk about the ECW deal that is tomorrow, the WWE versus ECW special on the USA Network, I believe at 9 o'clock. Somebody actually emailed today and just asked, what time is the show tomorrow? And I was like, I don't know. I've got to find out. And I think that's one of the big stories is there is a show tomorrow. And
sometime.
Yeah. There was a poll, or it's kind of a poll on our website. It was mostly people asking, pick the rating for tomorrow. Guess what the rating is going to be. And I hadn't really thought about it before, but now that I think about it, you know, if this show did like a 1.8 or a 1.9, I don't know if I'd be surprised because, I mean, they sort of talked about it last night in the opening segment. They haven't really done a strong push for it. They announced nothing except the Battle Royal. The two matches that we know of were announced on WWE.com, so nobody watching TV knew anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I've got people asking me when it airs, which is never a good thing.
The show, by the way, is on at 9 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night.
Okay,
well, you know what? It's happening 50 miles from, of course, I'm more than 50 miles from there now, but 50 miles from my home. And all I knew about it was what I've read on different websites saying that it was going to happen at the Nutter Center.
Yeah, and I sort of, I went to Raw last Monday night, and it was very eye-opening because, you know, when you're on the Internet all the time, and you're on WWE.com, and you get emails and everything like that, you sort of always kind of have an idea what's going on, but the average fan is not like that. And I was in this building, the Tacoma Dome, just surrounded by people that had no earthly idea what was going on, because there was so much stuff going on that there's no reason that they should really know anything about. There was Vince McMahon talking about a new GM, which had only been announced on WWE.com and on the mobile service. So, you know, 99% of the fans in the building probably knew nothing about it, maybe 95%. And Paul Heyman and Mick Foley are doing a debate, talking about things that probably even people that went to WWE.com would know nothing about. And now they've got this TV special, and I guess they've got this idea that everybody goes to WWE.com, all we have to do is announce it on there, and everybody's going to just tune in. And I think they're going to get quite the rude awakening tomorrow night when millions of people don't tune in.
Brian, let me ask you, right, just because of the statements you've made, this is something that I know has gone on with a lot of people who you would assume had less a feel for the industry, less knowledge about the industry. But from what you're saying, and I would tend to agree with you, is that the people now in key positions with WWE are of the age and persuasion that if it's on the Internet, obviously trillions of people must know about it.
I think it's just deal. It's the old saying, you can't separate the forest from the trees. They're surrounded by WWE 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they have this feeling that everybody else is as well, because now everybody in WWE is on the Internet all the time.
Right.
They're following all the websites and everything like that, and I think they're getting this idea that everybody does. And I have a number of friends that are just casual WWE fans, and I can guarantee you that a lot of those are not going to be watching the show because they just flat out will forget about it or don't even know that it's going to be taking place.
Right.
It's WWE, it's a wrestling promotion. You're supposed to be promoting wrestling, and they're doing a horrendous job of promotion the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I actually didn't see very much promotion at all for this show tomorrow.
Well, you know, again, like Brian said, I think it's just, I've heard there's a battle royal. It's ECW versus WWE, which means exactly what? You know, I mean, that's the
no
thing.
No one knows.
Yeah, well, and but again, someone in that company just expected, well, we said that, which means trillions of people are going to turn their TV sets on.
And I think they've got this idea that all of their entire fan base were ECW fans back in the day, followed ECW, knew everything about ECW. And I was at the Tacoma Dome, and I can tell you, I guarantee that's not true. The number of people now, they hear ECW, and there are a lot of people that just, they've heard it before, they've heard of ECW, they never watched it. They don't necessarily know any of the big stars, maybe some of the bigger stars that they may have seen on TV. Tommy Dreamer shows up, and I'm sure the majority of them think, that's the guy that eats stuff. That's the only memory they have of Tommy Dreamer. Maybe that he uses a cane, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're making this assumption, and the strange thing is, they're making this assumption that everybody knows about the old ECW, yet they're promoting it with the idea that this is a new ECW that's going to have nothing to do with the old one. So it's like they're trying to serve 10 different masters and doing a poor job of serving all of them, really.
You know, Brian, let me ask you, give you some feedback on this. I had told Doc in the last couple of weeks in talking about this. My biggest problem is that the thing that happened with ECW years ago was spontaneous. It wasn't planned, but yet the key was that Paul E. built this story. It was us against the world.
Yes.
And now it's us against us because we are the corporate world. And so it's actually, and for the most part, those who are attuned and aware realize that there is no animosity. I mean, there might be, you know, behind-the-scenes animosity, but the company that they're warring with is the company that owns them.
Right.
ECW worked in the mid-90s for a lot of reasons that don't exist today. I mean, it was a totally different wrestling world, and the spirit of ECW cannot be revived. It's just not possible. I don't think you could do it if it were part of WWE, if it were not part of WWE. I mean, the folks that run TNA sort of have that ECW spirit, and it hasn't meant a damn thing, really.
Right.
So when I look at this thing, it's like, you know, it may have just been better off if you would have just picked three different initials. Because, you know, it's not going to be ECW, so why pretend? Why upset the people that were ECW fans, and why make these assumptions about ECW fans that just don't exist nowadays?
Yeah, and you were talking about like the Heyman Foley exchanges. I was all geared to say, hey, these are two great promo guys.
Sure.
And what took the edge off of it for me was the background noise or the lack thereof.
Yeah, it was. They've had a major problem with running. I just thought it was Tacoma and the West Coast. They're doing all these shows and buildings that have never, you know, these fans would have never seen live ECW unless they traveled to the East Coast. I thought Pittsburgh maybe, you know, it's in Pennsylvania. It's somewhat close to Philly. You would think that there'd be some hardcore ECW fans there. Well, there weren't. It's a very quiet atmosphere, very quiet crowd, and, you know,
I think, too, is something they're finding out. Maybe they're not. Maybe it's going over. Maybe, again, it's like, you know, you can't see the leaves for the trees. But this company, over the last however many years, has taken, you know, Brian Alvarez the Carpenter, which they didn't think worked for 15 minutes, and turned him into Brian Alvarez the Movie Star, which didn't work, and they turned him into Brian Alvarez the Bus Driver. But now, you know, they're expecting that they can turn, well, you know what, we need Mick Foley to be a heel this week.
Sure.
Well, guess what, nobody wants him to be a heel. Well, we need John Cena to be a babyface, but they don't want him to be a babyface. Yeah, and it's just, it's like, they got to be sitting there scratching his well, but that's what we want.
Yeah, and I mean, I also get emails from people going, is Mick Foley supposed to be a heel? Because people don't know. Because the entire storyline is so, it's just so confusing. And really, the only reason these interview segments are getting over, or even slightly working, is because the people involved are such great promo guys and have so much passion. What they're actually saying really makes no sense.
No, well, you know, I think the one thing, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about it, who is a wrestling fan, I said, when I heard Paul say, Mick, you're prostituting hardcore, I couldn't keep a straight face. What else is there? I mean,
yes.
You know, it's like, it's a religion, is it?
Yeah, I watch them every week, and I'm like, you know, those guys, that was a hell of a performance, but I don't know what they were trying to tell me. I don't understand. So.
So basically, you don't have high hopes for this ECW, the sci-fi show, or ECW as a whole, starting back up.
I have no hopes for tomorrow's program. I have some hope for the pay-per-view, just because most pay-per-views, you're going to get 200,000 people buying them no matter what.
Right.
And I think people do know there's a pay-per-view on Sunday. The TV show, I'm not even going to say anything yet, because I have no earthly idea. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. They've only got 13 weeks, so I don't know what's going to happen in 13 weeks.
Right. We were talking at the top of the show because the wife and I were out of town last night. We stayed over in Indianapolis. I didn't see Raw, and Doc was going to be the big surprise. He said, you know, someone's picked up Kurt Angle's challenge, and I said, Daniel Berger. No, Randy Orton. And I laughed, you know, but I said, wait a minute here. You know, it's how do Angle and Orton fit into the scheme of what they're trying to portray, what you and I know to be ECW was. But, I mean, the point is, that's what they're trying to, regenerate, and I don't see either one of these guys fitting the mold in any shape or form.
Well, the thing is, I don't think they know what they want, because, you know, half the ECW stuff is, it's all about hardcore, it's all about tables, chairs, barbed wire. And then the other half is Paul Heyman going, oh, no, this is a new ECW. The face is going to be Kurt Angle, this technical wrestling machine. He's not going to be going through tables and stuff. He's just going to be technical wrestling. And I'm like, which is it? You know, is it a mix of everything? Is it technical wrestling? Is it hardcore wrestling? I mean, they don't seem to have a focus. It's just, it's ECW, whatever that is.
Do you feel, as I do, and again, this is nothing personal, what little I know of the guy, I like him as a person, but finally, Rob has been handed the ball, and he dropped
it. He has not done a good job.
No.
Whatsoever. It was a little better this past Monday, but, you know, ever since they really gave him this shot, he has not been delivering. And I think it's pretty obvious when they are now pushing Angle as the top star in the face of the company that they have recognized that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, another thing is he has only been given a few weeks.
Right.
So us judging his last few weeks of being given the ball, I mean, that's I complain about WWE when they give a guy a shot and they give up on him after 3 weeks. So, you know, after 13 weeks, we'll have a better idea. But
yeah.
So far, he's done a poor job.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. Pimp some of your stuff out. I mean, you have so much stuff going on right now that it could take the whole 10 minutes just to say it all.
I will just say...
but try.
I will just say f4wonline.com, and it's all there. Newsletters, radio shows, news updates. I'm working on a new newsletter right now. As we speak, actually, I'm typing and speaking at the same time.
Yeah, and is there going to be a big housewarming at the new condo?
That's right. There may be that as well. So,
the invitations go out with the newsletter.
I will tell everyone in Vegas, give them your humble, sincere apologies for not showing up.
You better not. Never mind. I will just say f4wonline.com.
Very good, Brian. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks for having me.
Brian, I hope your move is easy and successful. You take care of yourself.
Thank you, you too.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye. Brian Alvarez from the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter here on Wrestling Weekly for Hot Topic. All right, we are going to have to knock this out really quickly, Les. We've got Jerry Lynn still to come on the show.
Right.
But it's time to play the pay-per-view prediction game.
Okay.
And we are... I am trying to pull up the card right now.
Yeah,
and here it is.
If you happen to know what the matches are.
There aren't that many matches so far signed. There's still SmackDown to go. Of course, we do our show on Tuesdays. They usually don't finish completing things until Friday.
Right.
So here's what we got so far. We've got Taz versus Jerry Lawler. Announcer versus announcer match, I guess.
Okay. I think I've got to pick Taz on this one since it's an ECW show. And since it looks like he's going to be one of the voices of ECW. So
I'm going to go with you on that one also. For that reason and for the reason that last time these two faced, Jerry made Taz look really bad.
when was the last time they faced one of them?
Oh, it was when... It was when Taz smashed that window in Ross's face and cut his eye, and then they had a match. I believe it was Royal Rumble 2000.
Oh, okay. That's the reason I don't remember.
Right. It was quite a while ago.
You know, but I think logic would dictate if Taz is going to be the color man on ECW's TV show, then it only makes sense that he comes through the door, you know, in a positive sense. So, I think he's
right. Somebody's
cool.
Got to.
Yeah.
Mick Foley and Edge versus Terry Funk and Tommy Dreamer.
Well, you know, here again, if you're going to make ECW successful, you don't beat the guys who, and Dreamer's going to be one of their people, right? I mean, maybe not the top star, but he's going to be there. Terry, obviously, is a part-timer. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Mick lacing him up full-time. And obviously, Edge is not going to move over there. So it's pretty much, I think, in some way, shape, or form here, Dreamer's got to take the fall.
And pretty much a waste of a match, actually.
Huh?
And pretty much a waste of a match.
Yeah. if you're looking for an argument, you're not going to get it.
I believe the whole reason for this is to bring these big stars in here and to lure people to the pay-per-view so they'll watch the ECW show.
Real quickly before we move along, when I say mainstream guys who are the fans of SmackDown and or Raw have seen on a weekly basis for however long, then how unique is this show to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, all the people you've enjoyed watching for the last, 10 months or 10 years or 10 weeks here on Raw or SmackDown, now you get to see them on this special ECW show.
Yep.
Okay. And what's going to make that any different than seeing them right now?
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I just think there's not enough separation here. Go ahead.
Who did you have for that? You had Mick and Edge?
No.
Okay, you had
Dreamer. You tried to con me here, right?
No.
Dreamer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Mick and Edge on this one.
Okay.
For the reason that Terry Funk, I think, is going to be used part-time. Tommy Dreamer is not going to be used very much at all.
Right.
I think they want to solidify Mick Foley as an ECW hater and Edge as, you know, a competent, good wrestler. And
okay.
It would be a big win for him. Kurt Angle versus Randy Orton.
Well, if Angle's going to be, as Brian mentioned, one of the faces of ECW, then that pretty much is self-explanatory, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So
again, if this is, you know, if the Yankees continually beat the Red Sox at Fenway Park in Boston, then a lot of people are going to stop going to Fenway Park.
Absolutely.
You know.
I'm with you on that one. Actually, I'm going to go against you on that one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Orton. Rey Mysterio versus Sabu, World Championship title match.
See, now, here's my problem with it, and there's another world title, championship title match coming up here, too. How do you take a company that you're just starting, that you're not sure how it's going to fly? Yeah, I see a lot of reasons in something that you've got, you're sure of long term, in you know, or like the invasion of WCW. I would have, you know, the NWO way of invading WCW years ago was positive, because, and I think you have to. But I think in this situation, I don't know. I can't see Ray dropping it. I don't know. I just I don't see this particular match as being. I won't say it's a clash in styles, you know. But it's. I don't know. It's just not a matchup that I personally would book.
Right.
But I almost feel that Ray. You know, Sabu is. Bless his heart, is in the twilight. Yeah, he's hardly an old man, but I mean physically, you know, he's limited now. I mean, and rightly so. I mean, he's given his life, his soul, his body, to his art, to his craft. But I don't know. It's a hard one to call. In essence, again, I think all the ECW guys should prevail throughout the night. But in this case, I don't see Vince dropping either strap. To the ECW guys, it just doesn't, you know, and if he does, how do you rationalize that?
Yeah.
What does that do if you drop, if they drop the SmackDown strap? Everyone talks about SmackDown being the B team or the second rate show. Then you basically have just, you know, painted that picture more vividly.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
It's going to be a really tough one to call. I assume you're going with Ray.
I'm going with Ray. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Sabu. I think there's going to be a big upset tomorrow. I don't know how it's going to turn out, or I don't know how they're going to get this off of him or what they're going to do after this, but I know there's going to be one big upset, and I think this is going to be it.
Well, now, you know, if the Red Sox come over and win, beat the Braves for the National League title, then they're the National League champions. Then they would play in the National League, right?
Right.
That would make, of course, that's common sense, and logic and common sense are something you hate to hear me bring up. But, you know, that's my other problem is then would Sabu go to SmackDown as their champion?
No, I think he'll take it to ECW.
Or are they going to try and duplicate the Shane Douglas thing again?
Who knows?
And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, years ago in a galaxy far away, in Philadelphia, it was the NWA belt on the line. Shane Douglas won it, threw it down, spit on it, and said, "We're starting a whole new thing. It's called Extreme Championship Wrestling, ECW." And unless they're planning on Sabu and or Rob Van Dam with Cena taking the same route, and we're christening this now the ECW belt. But again, I remember it. Brian Alvarez remembers it. You remember, but there's a whole bunch of new people out there, as Brian pointed out, that have no idea what the hell they're doing.
Right.
You know, in that respect. I mean, it's like if Abraham Lincoln and whoever he ran against for president were resurrected, and they had some insider one-liners. Although you and I know the magnitude of what Abraham Lincoln was in this country, we wouldn't have a clue what the hell he was talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of this is going over a lot of people's heads.
This is really going to be, it's really going to be a hard one to predict.
Yes.
WWE Champion Cena versus Rob Van Dam. Everybody's saying this is the one. Rob Van Dam is going to beat Cena. He's going to take that world title.
Well, see, that's the thing.
And he's
going
to take it to ECW.
You know, referee bumps, run-ins aside, how do you get Cena out of this? How do you keep Van Damme the top? You know, let's say he and Angle would be the top two guys in this in the company.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep him in the mix? I don't know. You know, he's. I'd almost want to say Van Damme's going to win the damn thing, but on the other hand, common sense tells me that Cena has to.
Right.
You know.
That's such a tough one, but I'm going to go with.
Well, here's the problem. Cena is the champion of the number one show, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So if you beat him, you have basically put a black eye on the number one show.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you beat him in some unconventional way, but again,
that's no way to end a pay-per-view with.
Well,
a main event.
No. If you dilute it with 100 referee bumps and 16 run-ins, then it's, you know, it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
What happened there, Doc? Gee, Les, I can't remember who ran in last, who ran in first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just, you know, to me, I would have preferred to see them start up with a new ECW title and bringing top champions in from each company. I mean, you know, at least, and then they're all shooting for something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where those two titles, I it's just tough. Plus, it dilutes it. If Van Damme wins or if Sabu wins, and they say, okay, now we're changing the name. This is no longer the SmackDown title or the World title or the WWE title or whatever the hell title it is. It's now the ECW title.
Right.
That's like, after winning the Super Bowl, you decide to change it from the NFL to the AFL.
Well, they had done this before when they had the brand split, but they had the champions going over to both sides.
Yeah.
One of the champions went over to SmackDown, took the belt with him, and then they made a new belt, said, okay, here's Triple H, this is the world champion. I think something like this is going to happen again. My guess, and this is my whole thing through the scenario, I have always said, ever since Rob Van Dam won the Money in the Bank, the fans are not going to go home happy at One Night Stand. Rob Van Dam is not going to beat John Cena. But
I don't see it either.
But I do think Sabu is going to beat Rey Mysterio, take that belt to ECW, and lose it to Rob Van Dam or Kurt Angle. Then
SmackDown has no world champion.
And then SmackDown may make another belt.
But how do you do that without SmackDown losing face?
Well, last time they had Eric Bischoff just come out and give one to Triple H, you know.
There's a pretty exciting conclusion if I ever.
I don't think they'll have a problem doing it again.
Well, see, it's an easy out. But see, that's the other thing too. My old school brain tells me I don't look for easy outs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it should be interesting one way or the other. But we need to get Jerry Lynn on the line.
Right, you're going to go with Cena then.
I'm going with Cena.
Let's
see what Jerry Lynn thinks.
Yes. We are going to take a quick break. Don't forget, guys, ECW One Night Stand this Sunday on pay-per-view starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. Also tomorrow, WWE versus ECW head-to-head. It's also tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern. We're going to take a quick break. Jerry Lynn coming up on Wrestling Weekly. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Stick around.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW.
Have you ever considered being in radio? Are you opinionated when it comes to the sports you love? Or possibly you've simply been told that you have a face for radio? Well, if one or all of these are true, visit fantalklive.com today. That's www.fantalklive.com. Contact Chris Chisholm today and find out how you can get started running your own radio show on the Internet. We do all the work for you. All you need is a telephone. We provide you with a weekly broadcast with up to 200 live listeners, weekly archiving of your shows, and professional production to make your show complete. Again, the best part, all you need is a telephone. So don't delay. Contact Chris Chisholm for more information at fantalklive@AOL.com. That's fantalklive@AOL.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, tonight's featured guest from TNA. He runs stuff backstage. He's also all over the place. One of the hardest working guys in wrestling, Jerry Lynn.
What are you laughing about, Jerry Lynn?
He's right. I am running nonstop like a chicken with my head cut off.
He really is, guys.
Before we wait, I want to know how's the rehab coming on the injury.
Oh, it's
100% now.
Fine. Yeah,
everything's good.
It's actually better than my other shoulder, so the surgeon did a great job.
Good.
You had
Super.
A scare a couple weeks ago, didn't you?
I just dinged it a little. I got slop dropped on a chair and just hit the edge on a, you know, a bone in the back, and it got me a little nervous at first, but then it cleared up after a day or two, so.
Now,
still good to go.
I have to tell this funny Jerry Lynn story.
Which one?
Now, I saw Jerry last month at a Chicagoland area wrestling event. It was AAW over in
Chicago.
In Chicagoland area. But anyway, the point is, I've seen this guy still go strong. He gets in the ring. They're doing a Stairway to Hell match, which is a ladder in the middle of the ring. Barbed wire on the ceiling. You climb the ladder. You get the barbed wire. He's wrestling Jimmy Jacobs. Brutal moves being done in this match, right? So I go to the after party after the show. Jimmy Jacobs, Jerry Lynn's opponent, walks in. He can barely walk. He looked like he got hit by a truck. He's holding his head. He looked at me. I was like, "Hi, Jimmy." He's like, walks past me. 5 minutes later, Jerry Lynn comes in the place. He's got a smile from ear to ear. He's
doing like, cartwheels.
He's like, how's everybody doing? Slapping fives, taking pictures. Somebody get me a beer. I was like, oh, my God.
I love those old school guys. I swear.
Trust me, I was hurting.
But this man, he still goes at it 100% is the point.
Well, that's, well, you know what, Terry Funk.
I would disappoint myself if I went less than that.
You know what, Terry Funk said to me one time, we were talking about hardcore. He said, "Well, you know, you're hardcore." I said, "Huh?" He said, "Les, to me, anybody that gives 100% every night is hardcore." So Jerry Lynn's hardcore, too. Even if he's not doing Stairway to Hell or whatever.
Oh, actually, I tell everyone I'm very softcore because this so-called fake stuff ain't fake enough for me.
Absolutely. So what's going on right now in TNA? How are things looking? You had some good numbers lately.
Yeah, they're doing good. What can I say? It's just a matter of just, you know, time and getting more people to know that we're out here.
You know, it takes time. You know, I was reading an interview of Larry Manasak, who was Sam Mustick's right hand in St. Louis for so many years, and he was saying that if you take the time, if you have deep enough pockets, and you can, the people are out there. It's just a matter of getting a hold of them, educating them to what you're doing, and taking the time, and it can be done. And I think you know, you guys this will be the fourth anniversary, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's... And a lot of people say, well, Christ, how long does it take? But it does take a while. And, of course, now you're in the best position by having a decent time slot in the middle of the week. And it's obvious, it's proven itself that that's going to turn some decent numbers.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, we can get a better time slot because 10 o'clock at night is still tough because people are either in bed already, or especially, you know, kids going getting ready for school the next day.
Right. But, yeah, things are looking good. You've got the ratings going for you. It seems like, you know, the locker room's getting along backstage, and things are, you know, going smoothly so far.
Oh, yeah, just taking baby steps, just one step at a time, not trying to rush anything.
Let me ask you a question. You must have heard about, if you did not read, Lance Storm's commentary on the Kevin Nash X Division thing.
No.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm. What?
Well, he went berserk over it. And said he said he knew someone was going to say what, you know, in the final result. He said, I heard that about the Jackie Gale angle, which went nowhere. And I have, you know, I tend to sit back and I'm thinking, you know, okay, I'm at least old enough and patient enough, I'm going to wait to see. But thing of it is, I think what the bottom line is that Nash has got to do the job clean when it finally comes down to it. Otherwise, it means nothing.
Right.
Don't you feel that way, too?
Well, yeah. I mean, when it first started, there was already people, you know, being a little upset about it. Everything can be done right. And as long as it's done right, it'll work. If, like you said, if not, it'll just kill the X Division.
Sure. Sure.
Right. I wanted to get away from TNA for a minute and talk about this because I just found this out the other day. In 1992, you did a movie called Crossing the Bridge.
Yes.
And you played a high school senior.
Uh-huh.
And one of your buddies in the movie happens to be Sean Waltman.
Mm-hmm.
How did you end up getting that job? Did it have anything were you already wrestling, or was that something that you did before wrestling?
Oh, no, we were already wrestling, and the stunt coordinator for the movie knew Ed Sharkey. And Eddie had told him about Sean and I, about these matches we were having at the time, because we were in a big feud for a couple years, and we were just beating the piss out of each other. So he had him come down to watch one of our matches, and he just loved it. So he brought us in to do the scene in the movie.
Ah, so it's
and
just
beat the piss out of each other, right?
Well, Jason Gedrick beat us up, so.
Oh.
Both of you. Wow. Let's get some. I want to get to a couple quick chat room questions. TNA for Life wants to know if we're ever going to see you back in the ring again.
Oh, yeah. I'm working every weekend.
Yes.
So they can't make me quit yet.
Yeah. Come to your local indie show.
Next weekend I'm doing the TNA house shows in Philly and New Jersey. And the third night I'm doing Pottstown, Pennsylvania for that World One, I think, that Carino runs.
Yes, this man's all over the place and back.
You just mentioned TNA next weekend, and one of those is in the old ECW arena in Philly.
Yes.
And what do you think? We have been discussing tonight with several people the upcoming ECW resurrection. What's your take on that? Is it going to work, Jerry? Do you think it's going to work, or do you think it's going to fizzle?
It just depends on how they do it. Now, they can't do it like they are now, like doing it like a heat taping before the Raw or SmackDown. You got to do it on its own, like a smaller venue. You can't do it in a big, huge venue like that with the big, fancy production. It's got to have that gritty look and feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the WWE fans don't even know who ECW guys are.
Right.
So,
yeah,
they might not do it right. They just got to do it on its own.
Don't you think, being a part of that, one of my takes is that was something that wasn't necessarily planned. It was spontaneous, and part of that, I keep saying this, is Paulie built this whole story, it's us against the world. And I just don't see that being a part of the picture now, because everyone understands that everybody's under the same corporate umbrella.
I think if they were still to just do it on its own and don't run the same venues and just do the old ECW venues that we used to run, I think it has a good chance of making it.
What do you think that damn bingo hall in Philadelphia has that 17 promotions can go in there in the same month and all of them draw decent? I mean, is it just the crazy people in Philadelphia can't get enough of blood and guts, or what?
I think it's just the ECW fans.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a big part of the promotion. They were what made the promotion. You know, they're the ones who started, you know, actually making themselves part of the show with all the chants and you name it, and a lot of fans in other cities started copying that. It just spread like wildfire.
Heel 2006 wants to know, what's your relationship like with Paul Heyman today?
Oh, we patched things up. I just, you know, I was pretty upset, and I held on to a lot of hatred for quite a few years, and then finally I just had to let it go, because that's no way to live. So we patched things up.
That's good. If you could go back in time to the early 80s, what promoters and or territories would you most like to work for?
The early 80s?
The early 80s.
Well, I would say like, Continental, Mid-South, the NWA, Florida Championship Wrestling, World Class, a lot of...
You would have fit into UWF, too. For Watts, you would have fit in well with Watts.
Every territory, I think, back then would have been great to work in because the fans still believe.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a bunch of smart marks who weren't fans anymore, who were critics and just sat there going, okay, impress me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, a lot, most of the fans, you know, all the fans that know all the insides of the business and read the internet, and they're not even real fans anymore. They're just critics.
Right.
They don't watch to have a good time. They watch to critique it.
Right. Say it, Jerry. Say it, Smarks.
You make a point for me there, Jerry. Doc and
Smart,
I brought this up earlier in the show to Doc. I said JBL may be retiring. Benoit has to take time off to heal. Michaels is going to have a knee scope. Ray Ray is going to have his fifth or sixth knee surgery by the time he's 30 years old, and the critics you're talking about are mad because Vince has slowed the pace down. And I thought, Jesus, you can't, you know, you got to have a roster to go with, and yet they don't seem to have enough human feeling in them to care if these guys live or die, for Christ's sake.
Well, see, they think slowing the pace down is bad because they've gotten so accustomed to seeing what I don't even consider our matches, but just stunt exhibitions.
Right.
Because, you know, and a lot of it's the wrestlers themselves' fault to see their name under that 4-star match on the internet.
Yeah.
So they're wrestling the way the smart marks want them to wrestle.
Diamond Cutter has a question. He keeps asking over and over, would you ever wrestle Hoovy again?
No.
Okay.
That's pretty simple.
That is pretty simple.
There's a lot of guys I think would have that same two-letter answer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. I heard he was a great guy. Now, what do you think about John Cena, and what do you think about John Cena versus Sabu tomorrow at the ECW versus WWE show?
What do I think about it?
Yes.
It'll be interesting.
Yes.
Let me be a little less politically correct than Jerry and say it's kind of a clash in styles.
Yes, it is a clash in styles. But, you know, I guess the first time I ever wrestled for, I think it was Sabu's, I can't remember, his cousin was running shows in Michigan.
Yeah, Eddie, Sheik's son.
Yeah, first time I went and wrestled for them, my very first match was a fans bring the weapons match against Sabu and Kevin Sullivan.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, does this guy know what I wrestle like? And he says, well, we just thought we'd bring you in the right way. I was scared to death. But it ended up working all right.
That's
but no,
good.
I always prided myself in being able to work with anyone, no matter what their style is. I always tried to be able to do that anyway.
That's good. Jerry, I want to thank you for being on the show. I know that you had some plans tonight, and I hope we didn't cut into them, because Lord knows that Wrestling Weekly is just this juggernaut that ruins marriages all the time. And, I hope that hasn't happened tonight.
No. Actually, you guys being a little late helped, so it was perfect.
Yeah, I tried to stall as long as I could.
Which means the next time you go to one of Jerry's Stairway to Hell matches, that he'll buy you a beer instead of you having to buy him one.
Exactly.
Well, it depends. I might be the one limping around.
But anyway, I want to thank you for being on the show. Hopefully, you know, we can have you back again soon, and maybe for a longer period of time. We were really tight tonight.
See, Doc is really set and determined to ruin your marriage, Jerry.
I'll call you on your anniversary. We'll book you then.
Oh, that'll work. That'll do it.
No, seriously, Jerry, you take it easy, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
Jerry, best of luck to you. It's always a pleasure, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, buddy.
Jerry Lynn here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. That's going to wrap things up. Next week, Les.
Yes, next week is next week, Doc. It's 7 days from now, and you may be able to catch me in the Indianapolis airport or at the baggage claim or somewhere.
Looking for your luggage somewhere.
Yes, something like that.
We have a huge guest. Should we tell them who it is?
Well, I guess you should.
I guess. WWE Hall of Famer, another Hall of Famer next week, has committed to being on the show, Mean Gene Okerlund. He's going to be on the program next week.
Yeah, Mean Gene.
He's the man. He's my hero. I'm going to mark it.
He's your hero.
He's my hero.
Everybody's your hero.
You think I was tongue-tied with Jerry Lynn tonight, man. You wait and see next week.
I wish I could sit next to you so I could just prod you or something and say, wake up, Doc.
I'm going to have to take some...
Close your mouth, and you're catching flies. And it's a good thing we're not doing a TV talk show, and you're sitting staring at these guys with your mouth hanging. Oh, that's Jerry Lynn there.
I have to take some kind of medication before the program.
That's Gene Okerlund.
It rules. It rules.
Can I touch you? It's a good thing we're not live. I mean, not all in the same room, right? What's Doc doing stroking Gene Okerlund's shoulder? No, it's not what you think. He's just a big fan.
I'm so going to get you next week.
Okay.
I'm going to get you back. don't forget, guys, check it out, obsessedwithwrestling.com. It's for all your wrestling needs. Also, of course, LesThatcher.com and EPWT.com. That's the Elite Pro Wrestling Training Seminars. Check out those websites. Also, of course, www.WrestlingWeekly.com.
And if you're within a few hours of Las Vegas this weekend, check us out at the Plaza Hotel, the Cauliflower Alley Convention. We're doing training Thursday 10 to 6, Friday 10 to 6. And if you don't want to come training, always buy us a beer. What the hell?
Excellent. Also next week, a pre-recorded teleconference with Kevin Nash. We're going to be playing that on the show next week. So we'll see you guys in 7 days. You guys enjoy a one-night stand, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Take care.